February 26th, as the Wiener Rinat Purim Urim Vituman. Okay, good evening, everyone. There are handouts over there. Please avail yourself of them. So I couldn't help, Howie was, you know, we were working with the title, but I couldn't help but give a title, Purim Urim Vituman. We're really going to talk about the Urim Vituman, but it does connect to Purim somehow, and I just had to put it together for the title. So the Urim Vitumim are somewhat of a mystery, and I want to spend tonight, the time that we have, trying to understand what they are, what they do, kind of to answer three questions. First of all, what? That's going to take most of the time. Physically, what are the Urim Vitumim? If I would have a picture of them, what would they look like? Number two, how did they function exactly? Because if there was some divine intervention, if it was some Ruach HaKodesh of some sort, some Nevuah of some sort, there are different levels of Nevuah. What level of Nevuah are we talking about? And finally, why? What purpose did the Urim Vitumim serve? I think the last question we're most comfortable with, we find in several places where people would seek the advice from the Urim Vitumim. We'll see several of those examples throughout Tanakh. But to understand what they are, if I could have a picture, if you could just draw me an Urim Vitumim, what would you be drawing me? Would you be drawing me the breastplate, the Choshen? Is there something inside the Choshen? What would the Kohen Gadol be looking at when he went to the Urim Vitumim to ask a question? Okay, so if you take a look, this is this week's parsha, source number one. V'nasa Aharon es Shemos b'nei Yisrael b'choshen ha-mishpat al-libo b'va'o el ha-kodesh li-zikor l'fnei Hashem tamid. So this is a reference to the Choshen Mishpat, the Choshen which is the breastplate, which was called the breastplate of judgment. Why it's judgment is a good question. That may be related to the Urim V'Turim themselves. And he would wear this when he came into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the next Pasuk Lamed, in Perak Chav Ches, V'nasata el Choshen ha-mishpat, I want you to place, you shall place, El Choshen HaMishpat to the Choshen HaMishpat, maybe into the Choshen HaMishpat, Es Ha'urim Vesatumim. So if you take the Pasuk literally, there seems to be that we're placing something. We have something in our hands, and as if we're able to place something inside the Choshen HaMishpat, which is a little bit difficult what inside means. V'hayu alev Aharon, and they will be, the Urim V'Tumim apparently, will be on Aaron's heart, v'vo'o l'fnei Hashem, v'nasa Aharon es mishpat b'nei Yisrael alibo. There again, you have a phrase from the previous Pasuk, alibo l'fnei Hashem tamid. So, clearly the Urim V'Tumim and the Choshen Mishpat and the breastplate are working in tandem, somehow. It's only in the second Pasuk that we're introduced to this mysterious Urim Vitumim. And what's interesting is that, and we'll see this a little bit later, is that it's almost as if we're supposed to know what they are. Right? V'nasata el choshen ha-mishpat. What are you going to place in there? Well, you're going to place the Urim Vitumim in there, of course. The Urim Vitumim that you have, that everybody knows about. Okay, and what's it going to do? So, a little bit it tells us what V'nasa Aharon es mishpat b'nei Yisrael alibo. Perhaps the Urim V'Tumim have some effect on mishpat, on some type of judgment. Aharon is not really the one who's involved in judgment. That's really more Moshe's department. Nonetheless, and this is going to be alibo on his heart, which clearly the Choshen HaMishpat is on his heart, tamid. Okay. So if we take a look at several other places in Tanakh where we find the Urim V'Tumim, so this is what we need to do to try to get some sense, if we can, maybe a little more as to what they are answering that first question of what. L'fnei Elazar HaKohen, so Elazar of course is also the Kohen Gadol, after Aharon, Ya'amod, V'sha'alo, and this is a reference to Yehoshua. Yehoshua, when you take over Moshe's post, so you're going to come to Elazar HaKohen. He's going to be the Kohen Gadol at that time. And you'll stand in front of Elazar. V'sha'alo b'mishpat. And he, apparently Elazar, will be the one to ask b'mishpat ha'urim. There's the word judgment again. There's something related to judgment. Of the urim, there it doesn't say tumim.
Maybe that tells me that once you say Urim, I know that they are Tumim. Could it be that Tumim just describes the Urim? They're not two separate things. Could be. Al piv yetzu'u va'al piv yavau hu v'chol b'nei Yisrael ito v'chol ha'edah. So here already, in reference to entering the land of Israel, Yehoshua taking over from Moshe, now you're telling me what the Urim v'Tumim will serve. How will they serve Yehoshua? So there's going to be some type of question, right? Some type of request, or there's some type of inquiry that we're speaking of. And it's al piv yetzu v'al piv yavo. That's the language that we have with respect to war. When we want to know what's going to happen, should we go out to war or should we not? So then we're going to seek the advice of the Urim v'Tumim. You don't have, besides that, one would think that, you know, throughout the Torah, you would have, you'd be going to the Urim v'Tumim all the time. And you see that we don't have that. Yeah.
Does the piv refer to the Urim, or the piv refer to Elazar?
Well, so it's probably Elazar, but it's Elazar after, right, who's going to ask the Urim v'Tumim, and then he's going to report back as to what we're going to do. Okay. Then we find interesting, which we'll come back to hopefully at the end, reference in Shmuel. And if you open up Das Mikra, so he quotes that this is a possibility. There are other ways to interpret what this is referring to. Vayomer Shaul El Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Hava Samim, Vayilached Yonasan V'Shaul V'Ha'am Yatso. Just to give you a little bit of context, the Shaul and his army, Yonasan as well, were fighting against the Pelishtim. And Shaul made a neder, and he said, there is no eating or drinking until we finish this war. I take a shvua, anyone who eats or drinks, he shall die. Yonasan didn't hear this shvua, and Yonasan had was a little bit hungry, so he took his stick, and he went to the Ya'aros Devash, and he got a little bit of honey, and he tasted a little bit of honey, and then it was found out that Yonasan actually ate something. Unfortunately, we learn these things, and I'll be the first one to admit, when did I know what Yaros Devash was? When I said, Yaros Devash, when you learn Masechah Shabbos, and the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that if you take honey out of the honeycomb, that's considered kosher? Because the Pasuk says, Yaros Devash, we call as if it's a Yah. So a yar, you pull something out, it's kosher, so they over to you. Okay, the first time we should learn it should be in the note. Maybe I'd learned it once, I didn't remember it. But Yaros Devash, so this is a reference to this this discussion. And Shaul wanted to know, so knew, Hashem got all upset, and no one knew this is, we have several instances like this. Who is it? Right? Who violated this neder? So what did they do? So Shaul says, Hava Tamim. Let's cast lots. Tamim is lot. Let's cast lots. Vayilached Yonasan v'Shaul v'Ha'am Yatso. What happened? So the lots fell on Shaul and Yonasan. So one of these two people ate something or drank something against this neder. Vayomer Shaul hapilu beini uvein Yonasan bini. Vayilached Yonasan. Ah, so the lots fall on Yonasan. Vayomer Shaul al Yonasan, Hagido lima asisa, Vayaged lo Yonasan, Vayomer tom ta'amti, B'kzeh ha'mateh asher yadi ma'atevash, Hineni omos. And there is the famous pasuk, we say it in Niten Lecha, that Shaul says, no, right? It's not going to happen. I take a shvua that he shouldn't die, mipol misaras, whatever, that Yonasan is not going to die. Okay, that's one of the psukim of Geula that we quote in okay, but here also Tamim, is that Tumim, does that relate at all to what we're speaking of? After all, we're trying to inquire about something that happened. So does that give me any inkling as to what the Tumim, alright, what their function is? Hava Tamim, let's cast lots, let's try to come to some conclusion. The word Tamim means perfection, completion, fulfillment, to try to get to the answer. Okay. And this is pretty clear. Next, in Shmuel Aleph, Perek, I left out some of the reference numbers. This should be 1D. Vayish'al Shaul b'Hashem, v'lo anohu Hashem. Gam machalamos, Gamba Urim, Gamba Nevi'im. This is almost at the end of his life, and the next step was going to the Baal HaSof, right? No one's answering him. The Urim, the Nevi'im, no one answers, so he goes to bring Shmuel up from the dead. Okay, again, Urim, once again, Urim without Tumim. And then in Nehemiah, this is a famous, actually, once again, the Gemara discusses these psukim in Maseches Ksuvos in the context of the fact that the yichus of the people and who actually came back with Ezra were not the people with the greatest yichus, and the Kohanim were no longer Kohanim, could not serve, and the Levim took their place, and who was getting Maser. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara about that. So Vayigoalu, literally, they were redeemed from Kohun. I'm sorry, you can't serve as Kohanim. And then it says, Vayamahatur Shasa, which is another name for Nehemiah, Lohim, Asheru lo yochumi kodesh hakodoshim. These people, the Kohen, cannot eat from the Kodesh Hakodoshim, ad amod hakohen l'urim v'tumim. Until the Kohen stands, is he wearing the Urim v'tumim? Is this the Urim v'tumim that we will inquire as to what the true yichus of someone is? That's usually Eliyahu's department. But maybe this gives me somewhat of an idea as to what their purpose is. So that covers a little bit of the what, probably more of the why. How they function, we don't know just yet. Let's spend a little bit of time trying to have a picture. If we were able to draw, could everyone draw? That would be a nice way to start, right? Here, everyone draw the Urim and Thummim. What do you think the Urim and Thummim would look like? So that's what we're going to try to do. Try to have a picture after you walk out tonight of what they look like. So Rashi tells us, and probably familiar with Rashi, Es Urim and source number two, Es Urim and Hasat HaMim, Huksav Shema Meforosh. I'll tell you what it is. It's Shem Hashem. According to many, this is a 42-letter name of Hashem. And it's written on some unknown material. You know, we have this picture. Oh, of course, it's written on cloth with D.O. Of course, it looks like a Sefer Torah. So, that's what we think. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that anywhere. It's not clear that that's necessarily the case. But where was it placed? It was on some material. It was Shem Hashem, according to many, like I said, a 42-letter name, whatever name that is. Shehayon nos nos no bisoch kifle hachoshen. And they placed it within the folds of the choshen. Okay, so just to give you a picture, I mean, this is, you know, once you see a picture, so then you don't have any other image of what it looks like. This book is pretty good. It gives you many, many different ways to look at a lot of these things. But if you look at this picture, this is a picture of the Choshen, and over here they have some type of inscription or something over here that was placed between the folds of the Choshen. Here, I think there's a color picture here. Hold on, they do a little bit better. Here. Here's the Choshen, and here's this piece of material. Some letters are on that material. And between the folds, the Choshen had a front and a back. So between those folds, they would place this little piece, and it would hang out inside. Okay, fine. Now, what would happen? Sha'al Yodo, so what would that do exactly? What happened with that? So that didn't really do anything. Sha'al Yodo, it's actually who meir devarav umitamemes devarav. In other words, it's by means of this inscription of Shem Hashem that the Choshen would then begin to shine, begin to light up. Umitamem es devarav, and fulfill and made the words very clear as to whatever the inquiry was, it would tell us what exactly we needed to do. Okay. Uvemikdash sheni hayah hachoshen. Keep in mind that in the second Beis HaMikdash there was a choshen. Why there have to be a choshen? Because you need a kohen gadol, and if you have a kohen gadol, he can't be mechusa begadim. He needs eight clothing. So shei efshar la kohen gadol yos mechusa begadim, aval oso Hashem lo hayah besocho. But the Urim v'tumim, that itself, that inscription, that piece of material with Shem Hashem was not there in the second Beis HaMikdash. There was a Choshen, but nothing inside. Va'al Shem Oso HaKsav Hu Karui Mishpat. And we call it Choshen Mishpat. The Mishpat refers to the Ksav. Why is that Mishpat? Shenemar b'sha'alo b'mishpat ha'urim, quoting the pasuk from source 1b, okay, that you would ask about the mishpat of the urim. So mishpat is probably not halacha, because that's not what we normally ask. In the context, we're asking about war. So mishpat means, what is the ruling going to be? More a broader sense. What should we do? How should we, we're about to fight a war. Should we go out to war? Tell me what the mishpat is. What is your ruling on that matter? Not in a halachic sense, but halacha usually means, if you think about the word halacha, right, that means, where am I going to go? What am I going to do now? How am I supposed to act? So the same thing would be true. The Urim and Tumim means you ask, are we supposed to go to war against this nation? So the Urim will say, this is the Mishpat, this is the ruling, this is our decision. This is the decision of the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay, what I want you to do is turn, just I think it'll be better if we do it this way. If you turn to the last page, I think there's no number on it. It should be number 8. I threw it on at the end. It's a Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. Is that there?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. Okay. Beautiful. So, if you read this Rambam, so we may have another extreme approach to the Urim Tumim, and we'll spend most of the time on the middle approach. Says the Rambam, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash Halacha Yud, Perek Yud Halacha Yud, easy way to remember it, Asu Bibayisheni Urim Tumim. In the second Beis HaMikdash, they had to make an Urim V'Tumim. Why? Kedei lahashlim shmona begadim. Because a Kohen Gadol can't have less than 8 begadim. So they had to make what? An Urim V'Tumim. They had to make an Urim V'Tumim. No, they had to make a Choshen. They had to make a breastplate with all of the names of the Shvatim on it. That's what they had to do. Says the Ramana, they had to make an Urim V'Tumim. Because without the Urim V'Tumim, you're lacking. Even though they didn't ask, they didn't inquire, there was no power to the Choshen. Why not? They didn't have the divine spirit as they had in the first Beis HaMikdash. If the Kohen doesn't speak with Ruach HaKodesh and the Shekhinah does not descend upon him, so you don't inquire. But of course they needed an Urim V'Tumim. Now, of course they need an Urim V'Tumim. Hold on one second. Take a look at the bottom. Look about Halacha Yud Aleph. The Gemara Maseches Yoma. Elu Chamisha Devarim Shayu Bein Mikdash Rishon LeMikdash Sheni. Elu Hey. What things did not exist in the second Beis HaMikdash? Aron. Aron wasn't there. Kaporis, which was right on top of the Aron. Ukruvim. That's also all part of one package. Eish, the special Eish that came down on the Mizbeach that was miraculous. Ushrina, God's presence. Veruach HaKodesh. We saw that in the Rambam. Veurim V'Tumim. And they weren't there.
That's what the original cloth.
What? So.
According to this.
But one second. What does it mean they made in Vayisheni Urim V'Tumim to be Mashlim Mishmona Begadim? What does that mean? So there is an entire school of thought that the Rambam, and this is based on a Medrash. The Medrash says this, so I'll quote you in a moment. Rishva quotes this as well. That the Rambam holds that the Choshen itself, with all of the stones on the Choshen, were the Urim V'Tumim itself. Urim V'Tumim, right? They would light up, and they would tell you what you needed to know, and it was perfect, and they fulfilled their words, etc. And this is a quote from the Medrash. The Medrash says, V'ha'urim v'hatumim heim hayu shneim asar avanim. What's the Urim V'Tumim? 12 stones? This entire business of a piece of cloth of Hashem's name, all of that? Nothing. No. Everything would shine. As we know, even Rashi understands that when the Kohen would go to the Urim V'Tumim, whatever he would do to ask, what should we do? So the Urim V'Tumim, he's asking from the Shem Hashem. How would Hashem respond? He would express, right, yay or nay, through the shining anyway of the stones. So according to the Rambam, certainly according to the Medrash, no, that was the Urim V'Tumim. the stones had every single letter of the Aleph Beis. If you add Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to the Shvatim and Shiftei Ka or Shiftei Yishurun, different opinions, how Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were written, that's all in this book, not for tonight, what it looked like. But you had all the names, and it would shine. I think the one, you have to quote it, the famous Gra, everybody, when you learn Shmuel, you had to learn when Eli saw Hannah, and she was davening just quickly, and she was davening, and she looked like she was drunk. Why do you think she was drunk? So that's because he came over to the Urim Betumim, he's the Kohen Gadol, and the Urim Betumim lit up. Had it light up? Well, there was a kuf, and a shin, and a resh, and a hey. And according to, we'll see, this is not according to everybody, apparently, according to Ramban at least, letters would like, you need a little bit of wisdom. If you were the Kohen Gadol, you had to know how to mix and match the letters. Must be Shikora, but indeed, it's actually, some say Kishera, and some say Kisara, she's an Akara, just like Sarah. Different ways to interpret his error. But that's what would happen. According to the Rambam and according to the Medrash, that's all there was. There was just those letters that would shine up. That was the Urim Bitumim. Okay. Nonetheless, Rashi did not learn that. But most fascinating is the Ibn Ezra. If you turn to source number 3, and just not enough time. You know, when I started, I said, I don't think I have 45 minutes worth of this. And then I realized that this could take 3 hours. But okay, I know you told me, but I say 8:15, and people say, no, I'm definitely not coming. Okay. It's too long. Anyway, so if you take a look here at source number 3, this is fascinating. Rabbeinu Shlomo, this is Ibn Ezra. Rabbeinu Shlomo Amar, Ki ha'urim v'tumim hayu kisvei shem ha'mefarash. Okay, an explicit name of Hashem. The Ilu Ra'ah, now I had to make use of several commentaries on the Ibn Ezra to figure out what he was talking about. So the Torah Chaim gives a little bit, and the others also scholars that speak about what the Ibn Ezra. Without that, you'll see, I'm just going to be throwing in words and think, where was that? Where is, I don't see that here. So you'll bear with me. The Ilu Ra'ah Tshuvas Rabbeinu Hai Lomar Kocha. Had Rashi seen Rabbeinu Hai's responsa, he never would have said so. Why? So that's not here. He doesn't explain. But there are those that explain the following. The Sefer Mekor Chaim says, I'll tell you what Rav Haigoin says. Rav Haigoin says that the Shem HaMeforash was never, those inscriptions were never used for, you know, to divine the future. They were never used like to see, are we going to be successful in this endeavor or not? That Shem HaMeforash was not used for that purpose. And the Urim and Tumim, that was exclusively, that was his purpose. So to say that the Shem HaMeforash is the Urim and Tumim, and what we use them for is to inquire as to whether we're going to be successful or not, what's going to be in the future, that's not what the Shem HaMeforash is used for. So that's what his comment is. It cannot be the way Rashi learns, the way we've been taught since we're young. Okay. V'sod amoku devar ha'efod v'hachoshah. Very, very, there's a deep secret here. Rak ermos ktsasasot. I'll give you a little bit of a taste of it. Ula yivinehu mishu yodea das elyon. Okay, so already, if we don't understand, that's okay. Das elyon may not mean that I'm a spiritual person. It may mean that I have an understanding, and probably an understanding of what's happening in the heavenly abode. Vaha pesach shiyucha labar lasot. I'll give you the key, the opening to get to the secret of what we're speaking about. Basically, just to introduce, the Ibn Ezra is going to tell us that the ephod really was like an astrological instrument. And the way it's depicted, we'll see, it's not Chassidish Torah, believe it or not, is actually that the arrangement of the ephod, the arrangement of the Avnei Shoham, actually these stones were really, its purpose was to draw power from the constellations. And I'll explain why, okay? And as the constellations are certainly used to predict the future, that's what they're all about, I can understand very well why that's the Urim V'tumim. That's their purpose. Like Rav Haigoin said, it cannot be that it's the use of the Shem HaMeforash. Okay, so let's see if that's what he really says. Shtei ha'avosos, I'm on the third line. I'm in Shnoh Shtei ha'mitzvosos. Those are the two chains which were on the two rings that were attached. The Cheshev HaEphod, interesting, we don't have time to discuss what the band of the Ephod was, but the Ibn Ezra learns that it was not just a band that was tied in the front, it was an entire belt that went all the way around this apron. The Avnei Shoham are on either side, on either shoulder. Okay, and there are chains coming down and chains coming up like this. Okay, you know, let me just so you have a quick picture of several of them, but let's just get one so we have one image in our head. Here. These are the two Avnei Shoham with the names of the Shvatim over here. Okay? And this is the Ephod. This is the Cheshev HaEphod, the band. Ibn Ezra learns it's a little bit different. He claims that it's not a long coat. There's no way he could do Avodah. It'd be annoying to walk. It was a little bit shorter. But nonetheless, these are the two Avnei Shoham. They obviously, they magnify them over here. But these are the two Avnei Shoham over here. Okay, and these are the Shvatim that are here. Fine. What happens? He says like this. The Cheshev HaEphod hu hamishor al Emsa Iso. The band of the Ephod is the celestial equator. If we look at the constellations, 12 mazalot that are going around, really, right, that are going around in a circle. So in the middle of 12, if I divide 6 and 6, I have in the middle, I have a band, and that represents the middle of two parts of the heavenly sphere where we have all of the constellations, if you could divide them up, so to speak. Al Kain Hashisha, Al Kasef Hashemis, the Elohim Kifi HaMachshava. Only if you could really grasp it with your mind, you could understand that on the shoulder, that's really six constellations over here. Al Kain Him Be'Evan Achas, that's why they're on one side. Al Mispar B'nei Yisrael Vashmosam Kitoldosam, right, the numbers of the Jewish people. The Koch HaShiyashinayim, the same thing the other six. Rak HaMishpat Einenu Kifi HaChiluk Belev. He says, Rak Kifi HaChiluk Lemare HaAyin. What does that mean? If we view the constellations, each image, as a different section of the heavens, even though it's not in a different section, so in Avnei Shoham, you don't get a picture of them being in different sections, because all six are on one onyx stone. But when you look at the Choshen, now I see that they are actually divided because they're separate stones, and that's what he means, Kifi HaChiluk L'Mare HaAyin versus Chiluk B'Lev. Basically, you need more imagination, a greater imagination, in order to have an image of the various constellations when it comes to the Avnei Shoham versus the Choshen itself, where things are divided up into different categories. And you can say, ooh, this is constellation one, and number two, and number three, etc. Okay, uvavur hanetia amar biyikisur sachoshin mitava osa vel tavosa yifar vizil techeles. That was to make sure that it wouldn't move. Vaya choshen kaful. It was double. There were two parts to the choshen. Kisham hayu haurim v'tumim. So far, by the way, he does not tell me what the v'tumim are. I don't know what they are yet. Shem, all right, shmurim. That's where they would hide. We would keep them protected at es hatzorach. When I needed the Urim and Tumim, I took them out from in between the two folds of the Choshen. Now, so far, it could still be a piece of material. That I don't know. It's something I took out. But I have now a picture of what the whole purpose of the Ephod is in general. Fine. If you skip all two lines, Umilas Urim, Migate Xeras Chamosiro Isi Ur. Ur there means fire. Chamosi, I am warm, right? Roisi Ur, I've seen fire. Okay, something about fire, something about light, etc. Tumim Shem Timimim, they're whole. Now, the Ha'urim Loha Tumim Zahava Chesav Hayu. It's the Urim, not the Tumim, that were made out of gold and silver. There's some object that's now very small, clearly, inside the Choshen, the two folds of the Choshen, that would be taken out, made of gold and silver, that would be taken out, be'es hatzorech, to somehow draw the power from the constellations so that we would know what we need to do in the future. That's what these items were. Okay? Now, why they called Urim v'Tumim? They're Urim that are Tumim. They are complete. They are perfect. That's what he says. It's the Urim that are Zahava Kasef. Tumim means they're Tumimim. They're perfect. They will tell you exactly what you need to do. V'hamispar, and this number, which apparently is the number 12, Yadua Barayos Gimuros Meha Elyon V'hashafal. This number, the 12, has an influence from the Elyon to the Shafal. One way to interpret that, and this is how you're going to know what's going to be in the future. You're going to use these little things, whatever they are, and the Ramban may expand upon that as well. And these are what you're going to use to see what's going to be in the future. It is using the power of the constellations. Hopefully on Shabbos we'll speak a little bit more about that actually. Okay, take a look at source 4. V'nasatel choshen ha-mishpat es-orim v'es-hatumim. Sava Rabbi Avraham l'ischakein b'inyan ha-orim v'hatumim. The Ibn Ezra, he thought he was very wise in his interpretation. V'amar ki heim ma'asei uman kesef izahav. They're actually something people are, right? People, they were formed by a craftsman, okay? And the Herich b'inyanam, and he continued this discussion, ki chashav sheheim al hatzurot sheya'asu ba'alei ha-kochavim ladas machsheves ha-shoel. Now, the Ramban explains what the Ibn Ezra is talking about. If you are, a palm reader, whatever you do, you're an astrologer, so you need your instruments, all right? Gold and silver instruments, in order, right? It's not just enough, you can't just look upstairs, you need whatever it is, you need your tools, okay, of the trade, in order to predict the future. And that's what the astrologers make, that's what we made, they were made, and they were placed actually in between the folds of the choshen. He says, "V'loam ar klum." He says, "No import at all." Avalehim kidibei Rashi. It's like Rashi said, "Ksav sheim amaforash nasun ben kiflei hachoshen ulakach hutzrach lios kaful." That's why the choshen had to be double. Rashi didn't bring a raya, but the Ramban brings a raya. Beautiful raya. V'haraya ki lo nizkuru urim v'tumim klal. If it's something that an Uman crafted, so where is that? The Torah spends a lot of time telling you what was made, who made it, and what it looked like. You want to talk about the things, what about the big day kuna? Sure, I have vayas. Vayas is a ephod I have. Vayas is a choshen. V'lo amar vayas a urim v'tumim. Wouldn't I like to know more than anything else? Who made the Urim v'Tumim? What did it look like? How did he do it? Etc. Okay, you want to tell me, okay, because they're so deep, there's something so hidden, you don't want to say too much about them. Okay, so say like this, Hayomer, V'asisa urim v'tumim kasher haroscha bahar, zahav tahor, tasar osam, o kesef mizukak. Nice pasuk, right? This is the way I want you to make them. Okay, very simple. You don't go into the details because it's so deep, it's so okay, fine. So say that. There's no v'asisa anywhere. It says v'nasata. On the first page, you place the Urim v'Tumim inside. It can't be Zahav, Vakesev, etc. It's Shem HaMeforash. It's something we know, or something secret that only the Kohen Gadol knows, and that's why there's no Asiyah at all that's discussed. Okay, that's the Ramban. And then he continues that we're not going to spend the time on that, but he claims that when we have something that was written in the Torah prior, and then the Torah writes it again, so then it says, oh, you mentioned the Mishkan, right? That we should make a Mishkan. Good. So then now what do you say? V'asis is HaMishkan. What's HaMishkan? The Mishkan I mentioned a few psukim earlier. All right? But when you talk about the Shulchan, right, it says V'asis HaShulchan. Vasiso menoras, etc. Why? Because you can't call it ha-menorah until you mention it the first time. You can't call it ha-shulchan he-ha-yedia until you mention it the first time. So here, where's the first time Urim v'tumim mentioned? Here. Good. What does it say? V'nasada es ha-urim v'hatumim. So what are those? If you look at the bottom, look at the bottom. He says, ma hayu, last line, hayu ma ses shamayim, ulekach yaz kirem stam uviyidiyah. That's why he mentions them without any specifics, as if we know what they are. Kemo vayashkein mikedim ligan eden es hakiruvim. Where are those described in Sefer Bereishis? You know what? The people who need to know what hakiruvim are. And if you don't know what they are, then you're not expected to know what they are. That's all. The holy people know what they are. And the Torah doesn't have to tell you. Same thing with the Urim v'Tumim. To tell me that they were crafted, they're Zav HaKesef, it can't possibly be. Okay. So, running out of time. But what I will tell you is, I'm not going to read the whole Abarbanel inside, but we're very familiar with the opinion that the letters would shine. And by the way, that could be according to Ibn Ezra as well, that the letters would shine and we would read based on those letters. So Abarbanel says, you didn't need to be such a chacham to be a Kohen Gadol. Why? How do you figure it out? Is it Kishera, Kisara, Shikora? It could be any word. No. It's very simple. He said, they didn't all light up at one time. He said, what happened was, we want to know, should we go out to war? So what's the phrase that you find in Navi all the time? Yehuda Ya'aleh. So how do we know who should go out first? So Kohen Gadol will come, and first of all, Yehuda, right on the breastplate, that was Shine Yehuda. Okay, Yehuda, we're talking about Shevet Yehuda. It's always convenient if you talk about a Shevet, you get one word right away. That's easy. Okay, now, what were you going to see? So according to Ramban and Rashi, you'll see the letters Hey, Lamed, Yud, and Ayin. What does that spell? I don't really know. Ooh, I think that spells Yaleh. Yehuda Yaleh Rishona. That makes sense. No, says the Rabbi, no, it took a little bit longer. The Yud would go on and then go off. Then an Ayin would go on and go on. A Lamed and then a Hey. And then you'd be able to read it. So that's the way the Ramban understands it. The Abarbanel, not so complicated. What we didn't answer is the question of, you know, what exactly, how are they functioning? What level are we speaking of here? So I have, and you can, you know, if, we don't have time to go through all of them, but I gave here, this is in Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam gives you all the levels of Nevuah. He says the first level is, we may have been on this level, right? When sometimes you have, a person has a certain feeling, a strong feeling to do something. V'atzalti Ezarach, I feel I should, you know, this is an important thing, I should do something to the Jewish people, and he takes upon himself, there's a desire that he has. So that's the Madrega Ha'alef. Okay, that he speaks about. And he says the Shoftin had that feeling. You know, when we see the word Va'atzaltim, etc. And then you have the level number two, if you look, Madrega Habet. That's in source, it's the next page, actually. The top. That's where, that's a little bit of a higher level. I feel like there's not only, there's something I have a feeling I want to do for the Jewish people, but I feel that some is, there's a spiritual feeling that I have, and it's when a person's awake, and he feels like he's speaking even Ruach HaKodesh, etc. If you look the third line down at the end of the line, Uvazeh HaMin Me Ruach HaKodesh Chiber David Tehillim V'Chiber Shlomo Mishle V'Koheles, etc. And Migilas Esther as well, all Ruach HaKodesh. And then he says, right before the end, V'chein kol kohen gadol ha-nishal v'urim v'tumim izeh hakas, is part of this group. The Urim v'tumim was Ruach HaKodesh, nothing more. How many more madregot above this do we get till we get to Moshe? He's number 11. Above number 11. So, the Urim v'tumim, the Urim v'tumim, we go to the Urim v'tumim. Urim v'tumim. I mean, the Nevi'im, you had Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, they were way above the Urim v'tumim. What are you asking the Urim v'tumim for? You have so many other people that can give you much higher level than the basic Ruach HaKodesh. So what? David had Ruach HaKodesh, and he would go to a Navi. So what are you going to the Urim and Tumim for? What purpose did they serve? So the Arba Ben El has a beautiful interpretation of this. If you turn to source number 7, he raises this question. He says Yehoshua was enough. Right? He said V'amdolo chama berakia. He's able to keep the sun in place. So he needs to go to the Elazar for Urim and Tumim. The Chumash says, oh, if you want to know what to do in war, go to Elazar. Okay, he stopped the sun yesterday. Now he needs to go to he needs to get a lower level Ruach HaKodesh. What's going on here? Why would you do that? He says, right, there are halachos about Nevuah. We say that things that are designated through Nevuah are chozer. They may not happen. Urim v'tumim is not chozer. Not chozer. Ruach HaKodesh, it's one of the lowest levels of prophecy. What's happening here? He says, not only that, Moshe, if we say, is the highest level. No, why is what's the level of Moshe? He could speak to Hashem at any moment, and you could go to the Urim v'tumim at every moment. How could that be? You're telling me this is low Ruach HaKodesh, and yet you can go to, at any moment you need to go to the Urim v'tumim. You don't have to prepare yourself. Just like Moshe could speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and no other be could, so you can go to the Urim v'tumim at any moment. How is that? So look what he says. He says 5 lines before the end in this Arba Ben El source 7, Umashara Uilomar Bitshuva Samu, Shetzarach Yehoshua Lemishpat, Ho'urim Vahatumim, Lo Hayal Yisron Ruach HaKodesh Al Nevuah, Elamasha HaNevuah, Lo Haysa Shora Al Anavi, Bichol Eshe Yerzekim, Lemosh Rabbeinu Blavad, Ukedesha Uma Be'es HaTzarech, Ulai Yisha Yehoshua Benevuaso, Lo Hayam Uchan Lihinavei, Lo tiyechasra midiase asid lavaaleha. Meaning the following. There are certain things, there's immediacy. There are certain things that we need to know now for the Jewish people. We have a war. There is a nation besieging us. Should we go out to war? I don't have time to prepare. A Navi needed to prepare. A Navi, Elisha, v'kuli minagein. I need to prepare. I need to meditate. There are times where the things are so pressing for the Jewish people that I don't have time. Let's gather together till. But I don't have my hat. I don't have my jacket. I don't have my coat. We don't have time for that. Let's gather together in the shul and say tehillim. And that's the idea of the Urim v'Tumim. Yes, it's a lower level. But sometimes the lower level of Nevuah has greater potency than even the highest level of Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because it's a tzibur need, and the tzibur need needs to be taken care of right now. So that's the way he understands the difference. Although it's a lower level, sometimes that's even more important. Just because of time, I really have to daven Maariv. I think I said this last time. Maybe we have another opportunity. We can speak a little bit more. Okay? Have a good night.